Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A portion of verse 1 of Luke chapter 11. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, and he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. We, in the minds of most laymen, are professional prayers. These words are meant for us. After all, we're the ones who are so often asked to pray in public. It only takes one such prayer to guarantee any one of us a seat at the head of the banquet table. Teach us to pray. Throughout these past years in our studies, we've undoubtedly passed sections of courses which could have been titled something like Prayer Fundamentals 101, or Formal Public Prayer for Pastor and Pastorate, or Preparing People to Be Prayers, both public and private. But these are some of your thoughts this morning. Permit me to keep things to pray now not to me. As I studied the verses of our gospel reading, I realized that for several months I had been wrestling with a personal prayer problem which had not yet been resolved. Perhaps it was a sermon to be preached to myself, and so I said. But if you like, you may listen in. The first difficulty in my prayer life is to remind myself that God does hear and answer prayer, no matter my momentary frustration. It is very clear in our reading. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. The illustration of the son asking his father for a fish and an egg focus on answered prayer as the chief thought. And the man who receives unexpected company at midnight, who has nothing to give to that company, does receive assistance and help from a neighbor. Assistance is persistence, it is true, but he does get what he needs. The illustration presents this view of answered prayer. Scriptures speak of a son, whereas God is a father. The time is midnight and convenient at best, but our Lord knows no time as being inconvenient. Favors are asked from a stranger whom the sleeper does not even know, but we are God's children. The point of it all is clear, of confidence. God answers prayer. If we are ready to take God at his word, then there can be no question in our minds and hearts about that particular fact. But as I read the illustration, I felt my Lord really jabbing me. He seemed to be saying, you say you believe, and yet you're ready to give up if I'm not on the spot to comply at once with the first whispers of your prayer. Naturally, if I delay a bit with my help and comfort, I'm only waiting to see whether you will continue to be faithful. My neighbors can find their way at locked doors, but you only have to open unlocked doors when you pray to me. I'm not a scarcity old neighbor. I am your father. As I pondered further my concern for unanswered prayer, I found that I must also remind myself that there is another side to prayer, God's God. It's important that in praying we do not try to play the part of God in our prayer. I must confess that I don't know what is best for me. Human judgment are not infallible. But if I don't know what is good for me, God knows. Through Christ our Savior, we have learned to know him as a loving and a merciful, the forgiving God. The cross of Calvary and the empty tomb make it clear that the foolishness of God is much wiser than man. And the so-called weakness of God is stronger than man. He is the great provider. That we approach him as little children, making our request known to him, confident that in the end we will receive far more and above than that we ask or think. His will, not ours, is the burden of our prayer. But Jesus does not tell us that we shall get what we want in life, that when we seek, we shall find what we expect, that when we knock at the door, that what waits for us on the other side will be altogether to our taste. That what we receive will be the best possible for us. An unknown poet once illustrated this point when he wrote, "He prayed for strength that he might achieve. He was made weak that he might obey. He prayed for health that he might do great things. He was given infirmity that he might do better things. He prayed for riches that he might be happy. He was given poverty that he might be wise. He prayed for power that he might have the praise of man. He was given weakness that he might feel the need for God. He prayed for all things that he might enjoy life. He was given life that he might enjoy all things. He had received nothing that he asked for, but all that he hoped for, his prayer was answered. He was not blessed." The prayer being good, you better believe it. It is true that you can illustrate the futility of prayer from a human viewpoint when you point to prayers that have never been answered. There are those Christians who have prayed in sickness but didn't get well. There are those who have prayed in time of trouble and found the trouble only intensified. Paul prayed that his thorn in the flesh might be removed. Was his prayer answered? Well, yes. In such a way that he was able to glory in his weakness, that the glory of Christ might be magnified. His prayer was answered, but not in the normal way that we speak of answered prayer. What about Christ in Gethsemane? "Remove this cup of suffering from me, if it be thy will." Was the prayer answered? Of course. But it was answered in a way that brought salvation to mankind. Christ was given the strength to drink of the cup of suffering to its bitter dregs. And his suffering, death, and resurrection earned for us forgiveness of sins, like he can. And finally, perhaps it's important for me to remember that prayer is not all there is to the problem-solving situation. God is not an automatic handyman with prayer the button that turns him on. The finest example of this, undoubtedly, is Jesus. He was a man of prayer. But his prayers didn't eliminate the choices he had to make, nor did they remove the necessity of taking up his cross and carrying it to Calvary. Prayer doesn't allow us to sit back and let God do it. It is not a baton which we pass to God in the race of life and then step to the sideline hoping he'll win it for us. Prayer doesn't get us off the hook, but rather it opens our hearts to the wisdom and power of God. Lord, teach us to pray. As you have promised, give the gift of the Holy Spirit to each of us to ask. Gift which will give us a mind and heart obedient to God our Father, even to the death of the cross. A mind and heart similar to that of Jesus Christ our Savior. Lord, teach us to pray. We are your true children. You love us as our Heavenly Father. Lord, teach us to pray. For you have already prepared a table for us in the midst of our enemies, and through faith freely offer us our daily bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior from sin. God answers prayer. Sometimes when hearts are weak, he gives the very gift believers seek. But often, faith must learn a deeper rest and trust God's silence when he does not speak. For he whose name is love will send the best. Skies may burn out, may mountain walls endure, but God is true, his promises are sure for those who seek him first. Lord, teach us to pray.